Okay, guys, we stand up. The guys are able to unmute themselves, right? And just was, yeah, good. Okay, we're good. Okay. Okay, so we left off yesterday, just introducing Reb Chaim's famous biur with the Shita Saravid. The Ravid was the Shita that, in a sense, is not accepted la halacha. That the Ravid claims that the whole institution of Efshul Sochta, Echtichanas Nevela, everything we spoke about so much, is only said within the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino in a batel. That's why Rav, on Kuches, who happens to be a Rabbi Yehuda person, is the one who subscribes to it. But for us, non-Rabbi Yehuda people, Efshul Sochto / Klichnas Nevel is meaningless. And therefore, that has some very serious ramifications to halacha. We're used to this idea of accepting Efshul Sochto, Klichnas Nevel, especially in Bas Mecholov, and to a certain extent in Shari Surim also, according to the Ramon Rabinatam. Therefore, whenever we have a Ta'arobes, even if we have to ask for the first piece, because there wasn't enough to revatel it, and even if that first piece falls into a subsequent Ta'arobes, so we're going to have to go with the larger Shia. We're going to have to say, Efshul Sochto Osar, Chatiganas Nevela, maybe even Mishari Surim, and therefore we're going to need Shishim Kenega the entire first piece, not just Kenega the original milk or Kenega the original Chazir. That's classic opinion, that's conventional wisdom. But the Ravid said no. The Ravid says that that whole picture that I just drew for you doesn't exist. That Efshul Sochto Chatiganas Nevela is only true within Rabbi Yehuda. And the question is, why is that so? So we introduced yesterday three different chakiras, and the three chakiras are now going to converge together. So chakira number one, Reb Chaim raised, is what is the nature of the Yisr of Efshul Sochto? Efshul Sochto Asr, Zozayin Efshul Sochto Asr. And let's keep it to Bas Mecholov for a second. Efshul Sochto Asr, because the very nature of Bas Mecholov doesn't really need Cholov, as long as there was Cholov at one point, the piece was Nesar, and now the Isra is B'chol Tokva. This is also Alts Basa B'cholav. This is Basa Shin is Basha B'cholav, even though there's no Cholav. Or no. That we hold fundamentally that Basa B'cholav requires Cholav. And therefore, the Ikaron, once the Cholav is Nischot B'mena, once the Cholav is gone, so the Ikaron, the meat should revert to being Mutter. But there's a quirk in Hilchos Issur V'Hetter, there's a quirk in B'cholav Asuros, that Isurim don't just disappear into thin air. That once it's Asur, it remains Isuro until there's a Matir, and we don't have a Matir. The only Matir that we have heard of is maybe an Evashim Ulager, maybe, that we can discuss another place. But once Asur remains Asur, the other one. So says Reb Chaim, my nafkamina, at the end of the day, what's the difference? At the end of the day, Minatora, I can't eat this piece of meat. Whether you want to say I can't eat the piece of meat because it's still also, it still is a shame, basa shesmash b'chalav on it. Or you tell me that I can't eat this piece of meat because it was one time also shesmash b'chalav and nothing was mafkir the yisr. What's the difference? At the end of the day, I can't eat the meat minata. So hold that answer to that question on the back burner. But that was chakira number one. Chakira number two was, when we deal with min b'mina, the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mina in a batel, is pshat that the original Isra is still here. So when I have a big pot of chicken soup, a little bit of trefa chicken soup, and the ruba de ruba is kosher chicken soup, minat Torah I can't eat this. Minat Torah, there's no question, there's a flagrant violation of minat Torah of eating. A flagrant violation of eating what? Of eating the original Isra? It means the original Isra is b'chol tokfo. The original Isra of trefa chicken soup is here. And in effect, bittel didn't apply. Min b'mina in a botel is a meneya of the bittel, and kol's matter there's no bittel, so remainder the iser that's musa, the original iser mitchilos was still here. Do I say no? That fundamentally, acharam lahatas, even Rabbi Yehuda concedes bittel really works, and bittel even applies by min b'mina. Alawat, the Torah slaps with a new iser. There's a brand new iser called you're not allowed to eat a tareves that has even a mashu of min b'mina of iser in it. But it's not the original Issa. The original Issa is really long gone. This is a brand new Issa Shem Chadish. Or, do I say no? That is not a brand new Issa. This is the original Issa B'chol Tokfai. That identical Hakira can be raised vis-a-vis Isurim of Tom Kiker as well. Because it's the same kind of a model. I had treifos, I had some chazir, and now some chazir fell into a pot of potato soup, and rov kicks in. But wait, there's still tam. Gaval, there's still tam. So the existence of tam says to me one of two things. Either the existence of tam tells me that the original iser is not botel, and the original iser is debechot tokvo, or no. The original iser is takal botel, but there's a new chiddush atar called tam kikar. I have to reckon with the brand new iser. So those are the three chakiras. So now Reb Chaim begins to connect the dots of the three chakiras. Says Reb Chaim, if you hold that the nature of the din of Efshel Sochta Wasser is not that this is called Basel B'Cholov anymore. It's in fact not Basel B'Cholov, because there's no Cholov. So it's not Basel B'Cholov anymore. What is it? It's an extension of the previous Isser. The name it again, the engine that's driving me to prohibit this food, the Achila, is the notion that I have to extend the original Isser. Until a Davra Matir comes, the original Isser is here to haunt me. If that's the beer, I didn't say that's right, but if that's the beer, an Efshel Sochto, so then the next two Chakiras become critical. Because if the only Oser here is continuation of the original Isser, that's what's Meshavim me, that's what's forcing me to ask for this piece of food, is that a true statement? Is the original Isser still here? Or has something fundamentally happened that the original Isser is not here anymore? So that depends on what you think happens when you have a min bimino in a bottle. And that depends on what you think happens when you have a tam kikar that's in a bottle. If you believe that those kinds of isurim are a continuation of the original iser, so then Efshel Sochto is going to rear its head. Because Efshel Sochto means that I have to maintain the status quo, I have to maintain the original iser. And nothing's changed that. There was no bittul to change that because the bittul was bottle. That min bimino in a bottle. Or the bittul is batal, because tam kikar is not batal. So if you believe that these halachas, a min bimino in a batal, and the dinim of tam kikar in a batal, are a sugya of menias habittul, that the bittul never happened, so then we're reckoning with the original iser, and the original iser is now going to keep on haunting me, because there's no way to undo it. But if you hold that even though I have a min bimino in a batal, and even though I have a tam kikar in a bottle, but the original iser is long gone. The original iser has long been removed. It was removed with three magic words of Karam Lahatas. That Bittul Barov worked. And Bittul Barov removed the original iser. And now I'm being dad on a new question. A brand new question. The brand new question is, do I have a new iser on my hands? If that's the discussion, do I have a new iser on my hands? Efshel Sochto is not going to cause me any trouble. Because let's not forget, Efshel Sochto only gets its oomph, according to one side of the Chakira, because it has to continue the status quo. But if the status quo has anyway been broken, we're not being done on the original Isser. We're being done on a brand new Isser to be Chal, to be Teifes now. The Isser now, not what happened yesterday. What happened yesterday is gone. It's history. Bittul already removed that. I'm being done. Is it Shayach to Asa, this particular food, Alts Bin Bimino in a bottle? Is it Shayach to Asa, this food, based on Tam Kikar? Once you tell me that the original Isser is history, and I'm now being bound on a new situation, Efshel Sochto is not going to hurt me. Efshel Sochto is not going to cause me trouble. Because of the whole kunz of Efshel Sochto, the whole koyach of Efshel Sochto is only the continuation of the previous Isser, but the law of Hochi, I'm not continuing the previous Isser, because the previous Isser has already been removed with the Parsha Bittul. So now, Efshel Sochto Osir is now holding on for dear life. Efshel Sochto also is trying to cause a problem. It's trying to rear its head. It's trying to create Isur. That's the goal. Those three words, Efshel Sochto, which are the prerequisite for Tichnas Nevela, which are almost synonymous with the Ram told. There's no way to slip between the two. So if you believe Efshel Sochto is new Isur, I'm sorry. If you hold that Efshel Sochto is simply Nebuch, we have no choice. We have to keep the old Isur going, but if the old Isser is taka removed, and I have to be done on a new Isser, then Efshel Sochto is irrelevant. So what's the answer to that question? Are these halachas of min bimino in a bottle, these halachas of tam kikar in a bottle, are they new Isser or old Isser? So guess what? The answer to those two questions does not have to be the same. And if the answer to those two questions are different, that min bimino in a bottle works with one model, And Tom Kiker works with a different model that will enable us to understand the Shittas Raavad. Then the Raavad makes perfect sense. If those facts are true, we have a lot of leaps of faith here. We're trusting Rav, we're holding on to Reb Chaim's kapota now for dear life. Because Reb Chaim, he created for us the three chakiras, and he's convincing us that one side of Eshel Sochto is the correct side, that it's really just the continuation of the status quo. And now Reb Chaim has to convince us that the nature of Min Bavinu in a Botel is a continuation of the previous Isser, and therefore it's subject to Eshel Sochto / Nichnas Nevela. Unlike Tam Ki Iker in a Botel, is not a continuation of the previous Isser. It's an Isser Chadash that's about to be Chal. And once we're dealing with the new Isser, then Eshel Sochto doesn't haunt us anymore. So Reb Chaim's demanding of us a lot of Amunah. A lot of Munus Lachamim. Reb Chaim is a big Chacham, so he's entitled to demand of us Munus Lachamim. Reb Chaim was better than just that. Reb Chaim proved every Nekuda. There wasn't one nuance in Reb Chaim that he didn't have a Raya for. Reb Chaim didn't just stand with a Var for Svar, say a Svar. Everything was grounded in a Raya from a Gemara, from a Rishon. Everything is perfect in Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim now, when you think through this, Reb Chaim, if the work is Reb Chaim has to now prove to us those two points in order for his pshat and the Raavad to be correct. He has to prove to us that Min Bavinu is a continuation of the original Isser, and therefore Chtichnas Nevela / Eshel Sochto applies to it. Unlike Tam Ki Iker, that's an Issa Chadash. And once it's an Issa Chadash, that the Bittul Berov really kicked in, even though Tam Ki Iker Deraisa, Bittul Berov really worked, then we're no longer concerned with Eshel Sochto / Chtichnas Nevela. Everyone chap with us? Everyone with us? Just a thumbs up. Who understands the next point Reb Chaim must make? He has to prove those two things to us. We have a few thumbs up, a little bit. Hands up.
Quick question.
But
quick question.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the Reb Chaim already, he's telling us that Eshel Sochto Asur is the second side of the Chakira.
Yes. Yeah. Or else his whole shot is about the Sochto.
Right.
Right. Right. He's convinced.
There's no Raya for that point. Meaning we're taking that point with the.
Do we need? Yeah. I have to go back to Reb Chaim and take a look. Could be that he proved that also. I don't remember anymore. Okay, you know, it's interesting
Sorry, can you just explain? I think I'm just not understanding perfectly. Again, what side of the first chakira would be that it's after the sochto is a new issue? Because I thought it was yesterday.
If after the sochto means that we're stuck with the status quo, if that's what after the sochto means, and not that basa b'cholov is really also b'li cholov. It's just that we are stuck with the Chaticha Shel Isser, so that's going to be good for us, because then we're going to potentially be able to finagle and differentiate between Min Bavinu in a Botel versus Nos in Dam. If you hold that the Isser is exists now, that Bas B'Chol doesn't need Tam Chol of Shavo, so then we're going to have a big problem. Okay?
That's a new Isser? Isn't that still just a continuation of Asher B'Chol?
Well, it could be an Issa Shen is Chadish. That means, I don't want to use the term new Isser. That means if it's subject to the Issa Bas B'cholov now, so then we're going to call it Tam Kikur Bas B'cholov, or we'll call it Min Bavinu Bas B'cholov. So the Vort of Reb Chaim is that we have to commit Eshel Sochto to being just a schlepping along of a previous Issa that really shouldn't be schlepped along, but we have no choice but to schlep it. Okay? You know, it's interesting when we read Reb Chaim, so we have to realize that the Chiddushim of Reb Chaim on the Rambam were written by Reb Chaim. They were put there. The only things that we have written by Reb Chaim himself, the Chiddushim and Shas, were not written by Reb Chaim. They were put together by Talmidim later. But these were written in every single word. And Reb Chaim worked out every single Nakuda. And he only brought those rayas that he thought were convincing rayas. Those who were privy to Reb Chaim, so those who know a little bit of the history of Reb Chaim, so Reb Chaim's original Shiurim was said in Velazhin. Reb Chaim was, we always think of him as brisk, but the truth is that 90% of what he said really come back from his Velazhin days. When Reb Chaim was brought back to Velazhin, his father was a previous Rashiva Velazhin, then there was a split in Velazhin between the seven Beis Halevi and Beis Halevi went to Brisk, and then Reb Chaim eventually came back to Velazhin when he married the Nativ's granddaughter. So he came back, he lived in Velazhin, and he started to say Shiurim in Velazhin. He was significantly younger than the Nativ. The Nativ was Rashiva, he was married to his granddaughter, so he was many years younger than the Nativ, but he was like almost like the unofficial Korosh Rashiva, so to speak, and he was a Magid Shir in Velazhin. So in those days, that's where Reb Chaim started to, spread his Mahalach and learning. His Biurim became very, very popular in Velazhin in those days. So the way people who were in Velazhin at the time, have recounted that Reb Chaim would be able to bring 100 rayas to one yisoid and then deflate the 100 rayas and then bring nocham 100 rayas. Every yisoid had all the possible nuances in the rayas from the Gemara, the rayas from the Lashon Rav, the rayas from the Taizim, the rayas from the Rashba. Every one of his yisoidus would bring his rayas and then he would discuss every single rayas. We don't have all of that in Reb Chaim. We have like the synopsis. What we have in Reb Chaim is difficult. Sometimes it is. It's the synopsis of hundreds of hours of nuances, Reb Chaim, every single nakuda. So those who used to talk and learn Reb Chaim used to talk for hours on end about every single possible raya and dicha raya, etc. Every lomdus, every nakuda. We have the final. We have the final picture. We have the concise version of days and days and weeks of Reb Chaim that went into any given shiur. I think Reb Chaim used to say that there are. There are some people who prepare an hour and then they say 20 hours of shiur for that. The other people who prepare for 20 hours and they say 1 hour of shiur for that. Some of them, I don't know if they got those numbers exactly right, but the basic idea is that you have to think things through a billion times, every possibility, every curveball, and then eventually if you put it to an hour of shiur, anyway, back to the story. So we definitely know where Reb Chaim wants to take us, and now we're going to hold on for dear life. He's going to take us there. So let's address these two fakirs. This idea of min bimino in a bottle, what is it? Is min bimino in a bottle just a continuation of the old Isser, or is min bimino in a bottle really a sense of a chadash? Says Reb Chaim, bring your raya. What's the makor for min bimino in a bottle? It's always good to look at Mekairus to understand the essence of it. Min bimino in a bottle, what's the makor? We better know that by now, everybody say. No?
I'm sorry.
If I wasn't getting any answers out of that, we're going to have to go back to last August. So, Damapar and Damasar. Okay? The Torah tells us you mix the Damapar and Damasar, and it's still called Damapar and Damasar, even though it's obvious that there's more Damapar than Damasar here. Bimbimino in a bottle. Rabbi Yehuda made an unbelievable jump. Lo Yuman Kiyasutar. Rabbi Yehuda said, oh, just as Bimbimino in a bottle in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yom Kippur, vis-a-vis Matnas Dam, so too in your kitchen with chicken soup, Bimbimino in a bottle. Isn't that like, that's like such a leap of faith. You gotta fall off the tightrope with that one. What kind of comparison is that? What kind of loch is that? Maybe it's a special din in kodshim. Maybe it's a special darshan, parshat of a Sawyer. How did Rabbi Yehuda have the right, so to speak, to invoke the parsha of Mematzinu, to invoke the Midrash Shetan and Rashi, and say, just as in Hilchas Kochim, the din is that Dabar Damasar may be in a botel, so too in chicken soup. And to make matters even more complicated, says Reb Chaim, the Gemara never even challenges Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara never even uses the word Mematzinu. The Gemara never says Kal v'chaymer, the Gemara never says Binyan Av, the Gemara never says Rishova. The Gemara never bothers to extrapolate what gave Rabbi Yehuda the right to make that jump. It was just like Muvan Me'elav. Very, very strange. Very, very strange. To make it even more complicated, when the Gemara has a sug of Tam Kikur, remember Tam Kikur also has very, very unique Mekairis for very off-the-beaten-path Mekairis. Who remembers some off the beaten path of Kairos for Tom Kiker? Come on, some possibilities. Who remembers? None.
Nazir.
Right. Nazir. This is Pasha. Chomish. Oh boy, guys, when we get to the Pasuk Mishras, I'm so psyched. For many of us, it's going to be the first Kriyas Torah that we heard in almost 3 months. When you hear that word Mishras, I want guys to start jumping for joy. Shouldn't jump. Don't take too much time because the minyan is supposed to move it at a fast pace. So we want to, leave out the excitement over Mishras. But I'm going to be one about Kairi, so I may shed a tear or so by that word. So Mishras, everybody say. Tam Kikar comes to Gemara and says, wait a second. Tam Kikar by Mishras? That's true by Nazir. How do you know it's true by Kol Torah Kula? Anyone remember what does the Gemara say? It's a tough one. We learned this months ago. It was not so fast, not so quick to run from Mishras, from Nozer to Kol Torah Kula. What?
Kavachomer.
The Gemara says Kavachomers and Mematzinus and Kavachomers, and then the Gemara says Kashas on the Kavachomers, Kashas on the Mematzinus, and then who remembers why at one point, and according to Rashi, the final point, it could be that Mishras may not even serve as a source because maybe you have too many Pesukim. Remember Rashi Shita? Yeah, what were some of the other Makaris of Tam Kikur?
Gilanachri.
According to Rashi, remember you have too many Pesukim ruins it because you have a what? You have a that entire discussion, the Gemara, that appears in Maseches Pesachim, in Maseches Nazir, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, three places in Shas, where the Gemara takes apart the Pesukim of Nazir and Gilei Nachrim. Is it one Pesuk? Is it two Pesukim? Is it a Kavachim? Is it a Memet? I have a longer Megillah. What's clear from that Gemara? That we're not so fast to say, well, Tam Kikur exists in A, so great, it's a Din Kol, let's run with it, Kol Tarkula. The Gemara has to analyze whether we have a right to run with it, L'kol Tarakula, through the regular vehicles of comparing halachas. The regular rules of comparing halachas are Matzinos and Binyanavs and Kalvachaymers and Shneksu Rabbank Yechad and Shleshik Su Rabbank Yechad and Chiddush Lo Yafinan. That entire Sugya Shleim and Tarshim Apeh, about how to jump from A to B, is invoked in great detail. It takes up a whole Amud in three plays in Shas. Chazal were bothered with taking apart the limud of Tam Kikur before we compare it to Kol Tarkula. Whereas when it comes to Min B'Midu in a Botel, none of that exists. Not a remez, not a shem, it's not a mention, not a zecher. Nobody raises the question, hey, Kal V'Chaim, is this a Mematinu? Is it too many psukim? Not a remez to any of that discussion. What? What's the difference? How come when it comes to Tam Kikur, we have to invoke the Kloli HaTorah of extrapolating? When it comes to Min B'Midu in a Botel, none of that is necessary. Anyone think about that? Reb Chaim thought about that. He sat for hours in the lodge thinking about that. And you know what Reb Chaim said? You know what that indicates to us? That the derivation of Min B'Midu in a Botel and the derivation of Tam Kikur in a Botel are not identical. And that is borne out by the presence or absence of the Alfusas and the Mamatinas, etc. How is that? Such a plan. If the Yesod HaDovar of Min B'Midu Ein HaBotel is that Bittul doesn't work on a Min B'Midu, that the Parsha Bittul was never said like a Min B'Midu, that's not a new halacha. That's a gilui milsa the alma in the details of bittul. That's just part of the parameters of when bittul is effective, when it's not effective. The Torah is giving us a prat in Luchos bittul. One of the prat in Luchos bittul is it can't be min b'mino. Now, once the Torah is megala to us what the standards of bittul are and are not, we can use those standards in Kol Tarkula. That's not called. We're not learning from Dama Par and Dama Sawyer. We're not having a yafus. We're not learning chicken soup from Dama Par Dama Sawyer. We're simply using Dama Par Dama Sawyer to put the brakes on the parashibit. Ram Hatas, we were the sky's the limit. We thought the sky's the limit. We were so proud of ourselves. Achrei Rahatas, we could do wonders. We could do magic with Achrei Rahatas. Torah says, chill out, relax. Yesh gvul b'davar. You can't do everything. There's a case that Achrei Rahatas doesn't apply to. Min b'mino ein b'atel. That's not a yafusa. That's a gili milsa in redefining what bittul is, what bittul is not. Whenever you have a simple redefinition of a certain halachic term, of course you could use that in Kol Tarakula. I don't need kavachaymes for that. I don't need mematzinos for that. I don't need gzer shavos for that. I don't need aras for that. There's one standard definition of bittul. The Torah just taught between Parshas Mishpat Vechorim Mahatas and Dama Par, Dama Sar, Parshas Achrimos, between those two psukim, the Torah has drawn us the boundaries of what is within the parasha bittul and what's not. Once something's not in the parasha bittul, of course that was called applied kol tarkula. I don't need a yafusa to get me there. And that's exactly why there's no yafusa mentioned whatsoever. Because min b'mino ain't a botel means exactly what it sounds like. Min b'mino ain't a botel. You heard those words? You heard them again. Min b'mino ain't a botel. That's the parasha of Dama Par. And that immediately carries over the Kol Tarkula without any necessity for any afusas, any kavchomers, mematzinos, bininah, anything of the above. If that's true, and min b'mino in a botel, that the bittul wasn't chal, So Rabbi said, if the bittul wasn't chal, what issur do we have? What issur exists? The what? The original issur is b'chol tokfo, because that original issur of chicken soup was never nisbatel. It's kemanda leisadam, the bittul is kemanda leisadam when you have a midbamino contra b'yuda. And therefore, since the original issur was never batel, because the bittul just didn't work, it didn't have the criteria. It's like a bittul of a davar nikar. It's like bittul be'ed. It's like bittul that just doesn't fly. There's no bittul b'chir gavna. If there's no bittul, then the original issur is still around. If the original issur is still around, Rabbi say, what two words are now applicable? What two magic words, which have a cousin of three words, are now applicable? Finish the sentence. If the original issur is still around, what could kick in now and rear its head?
Efshel softo.
Which will lead us to conclude what? If efshel softo is true, then what follows on the heels of efshel softo? Which is exactly what Rabbi Yehuda and Rav said. So min b'mino, says Reb Chaim, we know beyond the shadow of a doubt. From this is Reb Chaim's godless ge'enis of the ge'enis. Reb Chaim's bringing a raya from what doesn't appear in the Gemara. That we would have expected the Gemara to raise the question of Yafusas and Kavachimis and Mamatzinus, which it does in other sugyas, but doesn't here. Reb Chaim, they used to say to Reb Chaim, once they asked Reb Chaim something, and he said, bring me a Rambam. And he said, I'll bring a raya from the Rambam to such and such. So they asked Reb Chaim, I read the Rambam, doesn't say it. The Rambam says, you're right, I'll bring you a raya from the Rambam, doesn't say. The Rambam should have said the following, and he didn't say it, that the Rambam held a certain thing about a certain beer of Allah. So here Reb Chaim is bringing a raya from what the Gemara doesn't say. This is not even reading between the lines. This is reading from a blind page. That in the Gemara doesn't say the obvious that we need Kavachamas and Mamatzinu, Zetman Fenda, you don't need it because it's a Gili Nilsabi Alma. That's all it is right now. It's of Chaim's Ge'enis in the Divino in a Bato. And because of that Ge'enis, it's now able to plug in Efshel Sochto, which in turn triggers Chatichanas Devela. La'afuke Tam Kikr. What does Tam Kikr Rabbi say? Follow Reb Chaim's line of reasoning. Tam Kikr, the Gemara needs Gevalt Geshrigin, the Gemara needs Kavchimes and Mematzinus and Binyanavs and Shakespeare Rebbe Yechad, a whole line in the Gil of Teresh Bafeh to dare and take Tam Kikr out of Nazir into other areas of Halacha, such as chicken soup. What do you need all that for? The answer is because Tam Kikr, what is Tam Kikr not, Rabbi say? Tam Kikr is not a Menias HaBittel. Tam Kikr is not a statement that the Bittel is in Chal. No way. The bittul is chal. You know what Tam Kikr is? Tam Kikr is something new. Something special. Something is about to be chal mechadosh. The issur is called Tam Kikr. It is no shaychas to the previous issur. It is an issur bifnei atzmai. Really? An issur bifnei atzmai called is now a new issur in the Torah for a nazir to eat tam of yayin? Is a new issur in the Torah to eat tam of yulei nochrin? Really? Wow. That's news to me. Rabbi, can I extend that issa to Nevela? Not so simple. You can't extend Yisurim so fast. You have to go through the regular rules of extending Yisurim, extending halachas, extending mitzvahs. What are those rules called? They're called Kalbachimers, and they're called Binyanavs, and they're called Mematinos, and Michidish Layafinans, and Shnekstun Abayim Kiyachad. All of the details that appear in Avodah Zarah, in Psachim, and in Nazir, that this entire Yafusa of Tam Kikr revolve around and depend upon, that is the proof positive, says Reb Chaim, that Tam Kikr is not a Menias HaBittel. Tam Kikr is acknowledging that Bittel was valid, but now a new Isser came about. Isser Shen is Chadesh. Isser Shen is Chadesh, whoa! It's got to meet all the criteria of Yafusas. Rabbi Yisai, because Reb Chaim just proved to us from the existence of all the Yafusas that Tam Kikr is in fact not a Menias HaBittel, but rather it's a brand new Isser. If that's the case, then it makes perfect sense to say, sorry, but that's not going to impact on Efshel Sochto / Liras Nevela. Because we all know that Reb Chaim already told us that what's the real Emes Olamdus in Efshel Sochto Aser? Efshel Sochto Aser is, it's not really Aser. It's Nebuch only Aser because it used to be Aser, and we have nothing to do, we can't get rid of that Isser. But we can't get rid of it. We just got rid of the Yisr. Through what mechanism? Through Bittul. Once Bittul kicks in, the original Yisr is also. Now you want to be down on a new Yisr. A new Yisr. A new Yisr. 1 second. Hold the phone. A new Yisr. That's not Efshel Sochto. That's no Shaychas Efshel Sochto. Efshel Softo only makes sense when we're dealing with a Nebuch continuation of the past. But if we're not Meshubah to the past, we're starting with the... So Efshel Softo, again, only makes sense when we're continuing the past Isser. When our hands are thrown up, we say we have to follow the past Isser. But once you have a Bitl Barov that is effective, Bitl Barov has canceled the last Isser. Now you want to be done. Is there a new Isser coming around? The answer is, not necessarily. We can discuss it, but not necessarily. So Efshel Softo is not going to lend itself to Tam Kikr. Tam Kikr is not going to be bound by the rules of Efshel Softo. So Rabbi said, thumbs up on this one. Who understood, who followed this Reb Chaim? Who chopped this Reb Chaim? A few hands and thumbs? Kind of, I see a hand moving around. Okay, good. You have to read the Reb Chaim over 35 more times and you'll chop it to its entirety. But Rabbi said, that's the basic breakthrough of Reb Chaim. I want to just share a few ha'oras on the Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is assuming something about Tam Kikr. The Tam Kikr is really, the game's over, the originalist is over, we go come to the Raivit at least. The originalist is over, and now we're being down in a brand new issa called Tam Kikr. And that's why it doesn't lend itself to Efshel Softo. That's why it's not limited by Efshel Softo. Anyone remember back, Rishonim had what to say about that? This is not the first time that we're addressing whether Tam Kikr is a Menias HaBittel, or whether Tam Kikr is a new Isser. Anyone remember other Rishonim that weighed in on this in previous sugyas?
Kama Battle? That's in, within the Ravid himself. It's Lashitasa.
What? Which Ravid?
That the Kama Battle, it's the Torah was never Oser. It's the, like, if you taste the pig, right? It's not.
I mean that the fact that something tastes like Isser, that doesn't really bother me.
It's not the previous Isser, it's a new Isser.
Interesting. Okay, maybe I'll think about that. Interesting. Think about that one. Can anyone give me a Rishon who absolutely is not buying into this model? A Rishon that says Pemole, that Tam Kikr is Minias HaBittel. Tam Kikr is identical to Minbina and a Bottle. Tam Kikr is not that the Bittel was Chal, but we have a new issue to reckon with. Tam Kikr means the Bittel was never effective. Who remembers?
It's Nicker. One of the Rishon.
The who? The
Rashba?
The Rashba. The Rashba's famous Kasha. The Rashba is, how could you ever say Tam Kikr, but I'm the Bittel? The Rashba says, no, this is Nikra Isser. The Chiddush of Tam Kikr is that's Nikra Isser, which is translates me Minias HaBittel. So the Rashba is an absolute, complete contrast to this Ravid. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't concern me at all. Right? The Rashba is not Mechuyev to the Ravid Shtichol Deira, to the Chaim Shtichol Deira, but you should just know for your own knowledge, your own Torah knowledge, that the Rashba and Chul and the Suf Tam Kikr invokes the parsha of the sugya of Nikra Issa to explain the mechanics of Tam Kikr is clearly not in sync with this Reb Chaim's Ravid. Anyone know another Rishon that is in sync with this Reb Chaim's Ravid? Who did take the approach that Tam Kikr is very much something new. It's not bound by the regular rules.
We had mentioned yesterday the Rimer Orleans about not getting Makos.
That was okay, related to that. Okay, that's true. Right? Yeah, those who show them will talk about it, right. I was thinking of something else. I was thinking of a Rishon that Reb Chaim himself discovered. Anyone remember, we spoke about this a few times, about what's the status of Nosim Tam Lufgam by Bosa Bechalov? Remember that, Shaila? Who is that big machlek zacharonim about? Is there a parish of Nosim Tam Lufgam Bos Bechalov? Let's say I have a piece of meat that was Bos Bechalov, milk and meat was cooked together, and then that piece of meat is left out in the sun for a week. The guy goes and eats it. Is he chayav or not? So who remembers that machlek zacharonim?
Crazy place you chavas das.
There you go. Okay. Crazy place you chavas das. Going to the crazy place that we're going to be asking Avishas in the crazy place that Nosim Tam Lufgam is a subcategory of Shelo Kederach Achila. And just as Shelo Kederach Achila doesn't apply to Bas Mechala, that's a very Shul Gemara, so to the heter of Nisal Mechilas Adam, of Nevel Shem Elgen of Tamakam doesn't apply either. And the Chavis Das disagreed and said, no, they're two different parashiyas. Remember, we spoke a lot of time about ones in the Gavra, ones in the Chavtsa, right? We spoke about that a lot. Reb Chaim assumed, like Reb Yonis and Ayyavish, it's Bedas Rambam. And therefore, the Ptur of Nosa Dam of Gam shouldn't apply to Bas B'Cholov. And yet, there was a Rambam that did apply it. Who remembers? We spoke about this. The Rambam says that even though Bas B'Cholov is not subject to note the Kul of Nosa Dam of Gam, but a Tarovis of Bas B'Cholov is. So let's say, for example, I have this very good tasting food, and a little bit of Bas B'Cholov gets in, and it interacts miserably with the good tasting food. Having Bas B'Cholov in this kind of a mixture just tastes miserable and horrible. What did the Rambam say? Who remembers? Anyone remember? We spoke about this a few months ago. Rambam says it's okay, right? Didn't we call this Rambam? Rambam says that if you have a Tarovis of Bas B'Cholov, that Bas B'Cholov gets mixed into other foods, so then it's subject to the regular coolers of Nosa Dam of Gam. No, I see blank faith. Did anyone remember we spoke about this? Right? So Reb Chaim asked the question, he said, how could that be? How could it be that the Rambam himself holds that Nosa Dam of Gam is not a Ptur in Bas B'Cholov, so why is Nosa Dam of Gam a Ptur in a Tarovis of Bas B'Cholov? So Reb Chaim explained that the Rambam holds that Tam Ikar is not an Isser Bas B'Cholov anymore. The original Isser is long gone because it was in this battle of the Rov. The only reason why you have to reckon with Tam Ikar is a new Chiddush HaTorah. It's a brand new Din Halacha. You're not allowed to eat Tam Ikar. Now, Bas B'Cholov is not subject to the Kula of Nosa Dam Kam because it doesn't use a Lashon Achila. But Tam Ikar, it does use a Lashon Achila. So since it uses a Lashon Achila, so it's subject to the regular Kulas of Shaloki derech achila being mutter or Nosa Dam of Gam being mutter. No, does this ring a bell? Anyone remember? I don't even remember which sugi we learned today. Anyone remember?
I think it was the last sugi of this man.
The last sugi of this man. I don't remember anymore. Okay, so the bottom line is, so that shtikl Torah, the Reb Chaim said b'das haRambam, that Tam Ki Ikar is, in a sense, a new Isser. It's not just a rehashing of the old Isser. That's the same as Reb Chaim is saying with Das Arayvid in the Sugya of Eshlesach. Okay. I'll add one more Ha'ara on this Reb Chaim, and then we'll have a try to move on to the next part of the Sugya. There's a fascinating insight that Reb Chaim had here in terms of understanding when the Torah gives us a din, is it a brand new din that could potentially be extrapolated to other areas of halacha? Or is it not a brand new din altogether? It's simply a redefinition of certain terms. It means we had a certain term called bittul barov, and we would have thought that bittul barov meant a certain image, and comes the Torah and kind of completes the image. The Torah is one big chaticha. You can't, a picture. You can't just read one page of the story. You have to look at the entire picture. So if you would only look at the parasha bittul through the eyes of Acharei Mahatos, you would walk away with a certain image. You would include even Mimbaminos. And Rabbi Yehuda opened up her eyes and says, no, you have to look at bittul barov through the picture of Acharei Mahatos. But it's put into place also, its parameters are set also by the parasha of Dama Par Dama Sawyer. So that was Reb Chaim's nuance as to, is Dama Par Dama Sawyer a brand new din? And if it's a brand new din, then we may have trouble extrapolating to other areas of luck. We're going to have to go down the route of extrapolation. But do I say this? No, it's not a brand new din. It's just a gili milsa as to what the original guidelines were. We just have to tailor make a little bit with the original guidelines. That principle of barov is not quite what we thought it was. This is going to be a trivia question out here for the fellows who learned Bava Kama with us. I'll give you a hint. I think we spoke about it last year in the sugya of Isho Mishum Chitzov. Who was with us last year, Baba Kama? A few fellows? Didn't we learn Baba Kama last year?
The Nemuke Yosef.
Ooh, it's part of the Nemuke Yosef. It's related to the Nemuke Yosef. Not directly, by the way I think you may be thinking. Isho Mishum Chitzov, right? It's a gewalt to gewort, Isho Mishum Chitzov. Torah says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Ki Seitze Eish, right? Shalom Yishalom Mavres Abeira. I'm having a barbecue in my backyard. I was careless with the charcoals. And all of a sudden a fire broke out and the wind swept it down. And across the street, somebody else's house went up in flames. The Torah says, I'm an Adam HaMazik. According to B'yerch, Ish Mishum Chitz, I'm Chayev, as Adam HaMazik. And if I damage the person, I have to pay Hey Devarim. A Mamasha, an Adam HaMazik. How do I know? HaMavres HaBe'era. Shalim Yisham HaMavres HaBe'era. Ish Mishum Chitz. Comes Reb Chaim and says, you can understand the din of Isha Mishum Chitzav in one of two ways. Either you can understand it that it's not really Chitzav. It really should never have been Chitzav. The fire's down the block. I'm over here. What does that have to do with me? I didn't shoot the arrow. It's not my force. When I shoot an arrow, it's my force. You know why? Because when I shoot an arrow, I'm the only force present. So physics dictates kochos kegufo. But when I light a fire, I'm not the only force present. What else is there in the physics lab, everybody say? The fire wouldn't have got there without the other. What's the other force?
The wind.
The wind, that's called kochacham urabai. So my baseline, my starting point of A should have been that it's not my koyach. It's the wind's koyach. The wind did the damage. It would have just been me alone. The other guy's house never would have burned down. So the baseline starting point of Aish is not my koyach, Aish is not an arrow, it's b'chlal not. What can I do? The Torah says, Hamavrius of Eira. The Torah covered Ma'avir. The Torah calls me another Mamazik, Zolzain. Says, Reb Chaim Yesh Lachkor. What's the nature of that din that the Torah says, I'm called a Ma'avir? Is pshat that the Torah is saying, you are not really another Mamazik? Theoretically, you need a moment, you should be able to hide behind Kochach Murabo. You're not another, but what? I saw a cost of Ki'ilu, you're another Mamazik. The Torah is going to treat you like a full-fledged other Mamazik. It's a Chiddush Torah, you're not. Because this is not the standards of other Mamazik, B'Adam. This is not B'Adam. This is not Kochach. Kochach Murabo was a Havamin and remains a Maskana. The Afal Pichain, the Torah says, even though you're not another Mamazik, we're going to call you another Mamazik anyway. We're going to make you pay like another Mamazik. You have to pay for Nezek Tzari, you have to pay like another Mamazik, even though you're not really one. Is that the Pshat? Who remembers from last year the other Pshat in Ish Mishum Chitzav? I think we said it last year. Does it ring a bell from anybody? No? Reb Chaim Ruch Hashcheinim? We didn't quote this. We had him quote. We looked at Reb Chaim Hoya and didn't quote it. No? Barak, maybe? A chance? You remember? Okay, we have to quote it now. Let's go to Shia 2 years in a row then. Okay. Says Reb Chaim, there's another way to understand Ish Mishum Chitzav. Ish Mishum Chitzav means that we had a certain definition of what Koyach Adam is. I thought Koyach Adam meant I shoot an arrow because there's no Koyach HaKamurabai. Comes the Torah and tells me that even though it's Koyach HaKamurabai, that's still called Koyach Adam. That the Torah is Mitzaref, the Miyachid, the Koyach HaKamurabai, to be, that is a new definition of Koyach Adam. When the Torah says that Ishos B'Shum Chitzav, the Torah is not saying you're not really another Mamazik, but we're going to treat you as one. What is the Torah saying? You are an Adam HaMazik. Because the force of physics that there happens to be a wind involved, that's true, but that wind is in a sense bottled to your koach. It's a combination. You and the wind are shutfim. The Torah calls you the Adam HaMazik. Not that it's a chiddush that you're not a real Adam HaMazik, we're going to make believe you're one. No. Dos is koach Adam. It's a newfangled definition of Koyach. I wouldn't have known this on my own. If I wouldn't have had the Pasuk of Ma'avir Sabera in a million years, I wouldn't have said it. Harai Rish Lakish, who didn't dash in the Pasuk to mean that, Taka didn't say it. Rish Lakish said, Isha Mishim Amoina. It's Taka not other Mamazik. Koyach Amurabo is Meneh is preventing from calling it other Mamazik. But the Chiddush of Rabbi Yechim, the Chiddush of the Pasuk of Ma'avir Sabera is that notwithstanding the fact that it's Koyach Amurabo, there's still a Pidin called another Mamazik. Might have to be at the end of the day, you have to pay Dal Dvarim anyway. What's the difference whether you're not really another Mamazik? It's a make believe where you really are. No? What's the difference? No? Who's going to complete the thought for Reb Chaim?
What was the first said again? That you're not another?
You are not an other Mamazik. It is not Maisa Adam. It is not Kerech Adam. It is not a Maisa Gavra. The Torah says we're going to make believe, as a Chiddush HaTorah, that you have to pay as if you shot the arrow, but you did not shoot the arrow. The second shot is no. You shot the arrow. I this Koyach HaKamurabo, Rabbo is still Nikra Shem Kochacha. Who's going to give me an afkamina? Give me an
afkamina. Whether it's a chiddush.
Afkamina what? Whether we can do what with this din? Whether we can
learn to other things from it?
Can we jump with this to other things? Can we run to other areas? Even if it's not a chiddush, you may still need a mematzinus, binyanav, kevachim. You need something. You can't just jump from one to another. You need a midrash to address them. So if the pshat is that you attack a not an adam amazik, the Torah is not redefining that halachic principle called koyach ha'adam. The Torah is simply saying that it's taka not koyach adam and you still chayev. If that's the case, then we have no right to jump to other areas of halach unless we meet those criteria of yafusas, whatever those yafusas are. But if you're going to tell me that isha mishum chitzav just means that we're just quickly touching up and redefining what koyach adam is, so that's just a new definition of koyach adam. That's a universal definition. That new hagdara of ma'aseh adam will be useful in other areas of halacha that also require ma'aseh adam. And we're not bound by learning. We're not learning from Aish. We're simply using Aish as a way to define for us what halachic principle is. Everyone chap that those two sides in Reb Chaim are the identical type of a chakira as we just had within all this, with min v'minu in a bottle. It's almost the same thing. Does min v'minu in a bottle mean that we're redefining bitl barov when it does and doesn't apply? Or is min v'minu conceding that taka bitl barov did apply, but we have a new halacha we have to reckon with? It's almost an identical thing. And what's the test? What's the perfect litmus test in the laboratory for Reb Chaim? How do you know whether any given din is a chiddush halacha or whether it's a redefining of the principles? The ability or lack thereof to derive it to other areas of halacha. So says Reb Chaim, I'll bring you a raya brura, Zok Reb Chaim, bring you a raya brura, that isha mishum chitza is a redefining of the hagdar of koyach adam. What's the raya? Remember Reb Chaim, second parak? The Gemara invokes the principle of isha mishum chitza, not only vis-a-vis nezikin, but even vis-a-vis what? Who remembers? Vis-a-vis din nefashos. He's viritzicha. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you kill somebody through isha mishum chitza, v'chayv nisus beisdin. So if I light a fire and the other fellow's tied up, if he's not tied up, then it's efshel levroyach. It's a whole other fact. The other fellow's tied up. I know full well I'm lighting the fire and I know the wind's going to come. Ruch Mitzvah is going to come and take it and kill the person in 20 minutes from now. The Gemara says, v'vakam v'chayv nisa for that. Says Reb Chaim, how did Chazal know that? Who told Chazal to extrapolate from Mammonis to Nefashis? How in the world did they know that to be true? What gave them a right to extrapolate? Says your prime, it depends. If you hold that Isha Mishum Chitzav is a new din, then you have to think a million times. Just because you chayim Mammonis and you chayim Nefashis, that's a big difference in the two. But if the nature of the din must have been that Chazal understood that the nature of the Isha Mishum Chitzav is simply a restating of, a redefining of an original klal, if that's the case, then the sky's the limit. We're not learning from that. We're just using the revamped klal to affect other areas of Allah. So Reb Chaim brought a raya nechoshchenim from the fact that the Gemara did extrapolate and didn't even question the extrapolation, didn't even raise the issue. It just jumped immediately on the bandwagon from Mammonis to Nefashos. Zemen fundo raya, that's not really a fusa, it's not a chodesh gedin, but rather it's a revamping of a hagdara of Isha Mishum. So everybody said, that Reb Chaim, did we talk about this Reb Chaim last year? No. It doesn't ring a bell to anybody? Okay, maybe we should have talked about it. Okay, so that Reb Chaim, that model of Reb Chaim is identical to the model of reasoning that Reb Chaim is using in Hilchas Dam Kikur as well. Just as an aside, I want to be intellectually honest, not everybody agrees that Isha Mishum Chitz applies to Kol HaTorah Kula. What do you mean? Anyone argues with the Gemara? Doesn't the Gemara say it beferish? What's the answer? Not exactly. You have to learn that Gemara Bava Kama really carefully to realize that there are Rishonim who had a different Mishnah Gemara. There's a Chedush Aran and Sanhedrin had a very different Mishnah Gemara. But again, not for now. Maybe another time, another place. Who learned those Ksubas back in the third practice? The Berman, does it ring a bell at all? Does it ring a little bit of a bell somewhere in the distant recesses? So I in your notes from the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin by the throwing the ball up in the air.
Rabbi, is that the Chiddush Aran and the Rabbeinu David about gravity?
There you go. It's Father Rabbi David and the Chiddush surrounding gravity. You got it, Asher. Right, right. Very good. Perfect. Okay, we talked about that last year, the gravity story, right? We definitely did. Who? A good tribute in the Shia. What was my raya? What was my raya for my foot? Who remembers last year's raya? Who remembers? Last year, I hurt something in my calf last year. And like 2-3 days later, I had my whole bottom of my foot was black and blue. And I couldn't understand what was going on. So one of the doctors explained to me that because you ripped something in your calf, so the blood vessels that were busted there, the blood seeped down to the, that's where the black and blue collected in the bottom of your foot based on the principle of gravity, to which I immediately argued that the machlekes made of Dovin and the Ran, whether gravity exists or not. Everyone agrees it exists, just a lump of shashayla, whether it's a koyach achamurabai or it's a mila de mamela. So that was, I think Dr. Berman, I think we discussed the medical halachic angle, the Torah angle of that shayla last year. Okay, back to that story of Bessai. So I have just one more hour to make, maybe one, two more hours to make. You know, this idea of Reb Chaim, that it's such fascinating insight Reb Chaim had, and whenever you look at a halacha, you have to constantly and constantly ask yourself, the Torah is telling me something against what I originally would have thought. The Torah is not here to tell me things I could have figured out. I mean, Lamli Kros Svaro, anything that would have been a baseline, true, I don't need the Chumash to tell me. So when the Torah, the Teshuvah Pelach, with Sinai, tells us certain dinim, it's telling us the Rebbeinu Shlom is telling us things that we wouldn't necessarily have figured out on our own. So I wouldn't have thought that Koach HaChmur Rabo is called Koach HaAdam. I wouldn't have thought that Min B'mina Wein HaBotel. So this is a common theme in Reb Chaim, time and time again. You have a certain baseline, and the Torah tells me something, and now I have to question, is the Torah telling me that my baseline has to be revamped? That's the goal of the Parash of HaTorah, to revamp your definition? Or is the Torah saying, no, you don't have to revamp anything, you're right. Your basic definition that you arrived at based on your knowledge of Halacha is absolutely correct. You properly defined Bittul Berov. Bittul Berov really does apply to Mibimino, Mikaron. You properly define Kach Adam, Tapit does not apply to Kach Amurabo. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the veto power over your baseline. The Baruch Hu could say, your baseline's right, and it remains right la'alacha. But I'm just telling you that there's a quirk in halacha. There's a chiddush, l'malam from your baseline. I don't know what else I'm referring to. Other very, very famous Reb Chaim. Same kind of it's the same line of reason. This is what Reb Chaim is. Godless, that he mamash like was bengala to us, this fundamental yisoid in learning. Whenever you have a baseline, you have a pashta Torah for karat. Is the pashta Torah revamping the baseline? Is the pashta Torah something new? Give me another example of this. Give me another one of this. Orla's chutzlaretz, ring a bell. The baseline of Orla doesn't apply in chutzlaretz. You know why? It's a mitzvah tlibaretz, kisav alaretz. That's the starting point. What does the Halach Mosh Sinai say? No? Who remembers? There is such a thing called Olas Chutz Laretz. Who remembers Reb Chaim said with Chakira? This we spoke about multiple times in the past.
Beshes or Mefreshes?
Oh, Halach Mosh Sinai Mechadesh Mefresh. What does that mean? That means, is the Torah saying to me that your baseline is 1,000% correct and it remains correct? Orla really, truly doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. It's a mitzvah tlui baretz. But what? The Baruch Shalom is saying, by the way, notwithstanding that, you can't eat fruit for 3 years in Chutz Laretz. If that's the pshat, then the Torah is not telling us it's called Orla. What's the Torah saying? It's a new, brand new issue called Orla's Chutz Laretz. It's not Orla Mor B'Torah. And therefore, it's not subject to the rules of Orla Mor B'Torah. And therefore, it's possible, who remembers, possible enough nafkamina to that. If it's not subject to the rules, it's not the Psukim and Chumash, maybe you don't get Malchus for it. Maybe Revai doesn't apply to it. Everyone, just ring a bell a little bit. When did we speak about this last? Sometime, I don't remember when. What? That's 12 years ago, Asher. Okay. What?
We definitely spoke about it in Sukkah.
Sukkah, getting closer. Okay, in Kedusha we spoke about it, getting further. Again. Whatever it is. So Reb Chaim is a famous chakir, Nuchas B'chol Sasuras. What's the nature of the din of Olas Chutz Laretz? Olas Chutz Laretz, that it's taka mitzvah atli baretz. Orla does not apply in America. It does not. There's a brand new din called you can't eat fruit for the first 3 years, and therefore it has no shaychus, no connection living a dead to the psukim and Parshas Kedoshim. And therefore, there's no malchus because there's no lav b'feirish. There's no, according to some, maybe not even Isra Hano. Maybe there's no din of shreifas orla. And there's no din of revoy. It's its own world. Or maybe orla's chutzlaris, it's not its own world, but it's a redefinition of what term. We had a certain baseline. We thought the mitzvah klei b'aretz means something. And guess what? We're wrong. Orla is not a mitzvah klei b'aretz. The Torah, the Halacha Sini, has redefined the definition of what's called the mitzvah klei b'aretz. I thought all those trees and grounds, it's pretty agricultural, it's pretty much to do with farmers. To me, well, you're wrong. The Torah is redefining, the same way the Torah redefined Karach Adam, the same way the Torah redefined Bittul Berayv. And if that's true, that the Torah has redefined Orla, redefined the term mitzvah klei b'aretz, so then what happens, Rabbi Say? What emanates from that is that we're right back to Parshas Kedoshim. And all the dinim that govern all those areas as well, govern all those sorts. If you chay malchus, and therefore revoy applies, and therefore it's asabano, and therefore it's been a misrafin. So that's a huge, many huge nafkaminas. So I think I'm trying to, again, we're jumping around from one Reb Chaim to another, but I'm just trying to highlight for you that this is a godless and ga'enis Reb Chaim, that any and every time is a style of learning. Any and every time you have these kinds of setups, certain baselines that we thought to be true, we now have things that are questioning that. Do we say these are almost, in a sense, the exceptions to the rules, or do we have to revamp the rules and redefine the rules? I think Lahavdil, I imagine that the Berman of medicine, you have this all the time, right? Yep, there are certain theories, there are certain ideas that are true. We think these are the baselines, these are the rules we're working with. And every once in a while, something shows up in the lab, or something shows up in the examination room that seems to question some of those baselines. Am I right? Does it happen? It doesn't always, not everything fits into the rules, am I right? No. Are there any ever surprises in medicine? Once in a while, there are surprises in medicine. Okay? So, what do we do with those surprises in medicine? Do those surprises in medicine tell us that the rule is fundamentally right, but there's a little bit of a quirk going on here? It doesn't necessarily force us to redefine anything. What do I say? Wait a second. That quirk is what